We're back, baby. It is the Daily Stripe. It's Tuesday, July 11th. We are already moving through July. Football is right around the corner, so we're going to def talk some of that today. You can see it in the title. We need James Harden and Damian Lillard to be traded already, so we don't necessarily have to talk about it anymore, but it is hot in the news, so why not? But last night, we had a very enjoyable home run derby. Very exciting. Like father, like son, Vlad winning. Arozarena was great. Julio Rodriguez, the hometown hero, put on a show at least in the first round. And we had a bunch of other players show out. Nick, you had a bet that was pretty interesting in the home run derby. Would you care to keen our listeners in on it?
The over-under on home runs?
Yes.
Yeah, I took the over-under on home runs hitting the derby, which was 276.5, and it smashed it.
How early did you smash it? Because they
I think in the second round. Because I think I checked before the finals started, and they were sitting at like 3-something.
Jesus,
yeah,
that's crazy.
And they set a record for the most home runs in a home run derby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. Do you guys think in the just some quick gut check reactions? Like Julio last year crushed it in the first round. He did the same thing this year, but then faltered as the derby went on. Do you guys think there's – obviously you want to get out of the first round and move on, but do you think there's some merit to kind of saving a little bit of your energy for as the, you know, the derby goes on?
Yeah, without a doubt, but he was in a terrible position because he was going against Pete Alonso, who was the odds-on favorite, the two-time champ. So he had to hit as many as possible to make it out of reach for Pete. I mean, honestly, if he hit 30-something, I'm sure Pete could have caught him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alonso is a multi-time champ. What was the biggest surprise? I know mine was Adolis Garcia being eliminated early. He was my pick to win. My final was Garcia versus Alonso. Like,
I mean, Adley Ruxman was very surprising. I mean, it was awesome having his dad pitch to him, and he went off in his round and then flipped it to the right side in his bonus time and pretty much hit every single ball out. That was pretty cool. I think it was just the pace that he wasn't able to keep up with. I mean, really, the success you had in the derby, of course you have to hit the ball well, you have to hit them out, but you're only as good as your pitching. You know, the guys who were hitting them out were the ones who had consistent pitching and quick pitching. I mean, Randy's guy was amazing. Obviously, Vlad's guy is amazing. I mean, it's his manager. So
crazy.
Your pitching is really what kind of does it for you. Adolis's pitching was terrible.
It wasn't great. Yeah. And Pete Alonso's was probably the worst that I saw just in regards to.
Yeah. He had to go oppo a bunch of times.
He had to go, and he did, which just you know, demonstrates how much power that guy has. He took more balls dead center than any of the other competitors as well. But that's, you know, a testament to why Julio was able to hit 41 in that first round, because they were exactly where he wanted him. And you had the broadcast really keyed in on, you know, a lot of it obviously has to do with who's throwing the pitches, but also where the catcher is placing the balls. And I mean, up and in a park that has a really shallow left field porch, if a guy can get around on it, you don't have to use your lower half as much, and you can kind of just muscle the ball out again and again and again. You know, you do want that 30-second bonus, at least in the first round. You have to take two balls over 440, but Randy didn't get that bonus, I don't believe. And, you know, you look how far he went. So I don't necessarily think it's like, I'm not sure that Julio wore himself out in the first round. I think part of it is it's a combination of the pitching, of how tired you are. But again, like you don't normally have that luxury, like Nick's saying, when you're across from Pete Alonso and you're going first, you know, you have to get as many out of the park as you possibly can. And even Adley thought, he was like, you know, I feel solid about it when he hit 27, which was very respectable in the first round, but that's not safe. So all of these guys have incredible power. Maybe one guy less than the rest of them, although he has hit 26 home runs through the season thus far.
I mean, he's going to lose too. Yeah, he even said he's had no chance.
You do it.
But he didn't even take his time out. I mean, Nick, that happened because Mookie hits before Julio and he hits before Pete Alonso, when he hit like 11 home runs, were you a little bit like, okay, Mookie, like take your 30-second break. Like we need as many home runs as possible if I'm going to hit this over.
No, I wasn't too worried actually at any point. I was like, these guys are all hitting at least 20 home runs for the most part, besides Mookie. Like Adolis had 17, but everyone else was smashing it. So I wasn't really concerned. The thing that about Mookie is like, he had no business being in there. It's nice that his wife said, like, I want him to, you know, have said he's done everything in his career. This is one of the things that he hasn't done. Super nice, but not that exciting. You don't really deserve to be there. However, I understand that you have, you know, 20 something home runs in the regular season, but it's not because you're a power hitter. You don't have raw power. He's just got the fastest hands, you know, and he's got a quick twitch, and he'll take you deep if you leave a fastball, you know, right at his sweet spot. And they're even showing, I think, the Statcast or whatever it may be before the Derby started. And I believe it was like where pitches are thrown or like where he hits the ball. And when he gets out in front of it, he hits all of his home runs that way. Nothing is like past like a certain amount of inches or something that he hits his home runs, opposed to every other hitter there, which just shows you that like they have raw power where they can hit the ball out no matter where it's pitched. Mookie needs it to be in the exact same spot.
Yeah, well, if you go, it's a lot of good points there. I mean, first of all, there's the old saying, the faster it comes in, the faster it goes out. And Mookie's fast hands, you know, a fastball coming in, Mookie can kind of take care of business, like you're saying, Nick. And also, he's the smallest guy there. So all these guys, you know, their abilities to go out over the plate, like you guys were saying, Alonso, his ability to go oppo, you know, with balls coming on the outside, like – these guys are so strong and so tough, and their ability to A, spray the ball, and B, cover a lot of ground with their length helps in this setting versus Mookie, who's a bit smaller and has to muster that power that he may not necessarily have. And, you know, pitching Luis Robert, I felt like his pitching was great in round one and not as good in round two. But after you saw what happened in round one with him versus Adley, like both those guys combining for 55 and all you have to hit is 276, he probably felt pretty good after you saw for those first two guys. Actually, I think a lot of people are starting to see his nickname. It's one of my favorite nicknames in baseball, the Panther. I think it's just very fitting for Luis Robert. It's kind of swag. I feel like he's getting lost in Chicago a little bit. And we know we talk about him as a potential trade piece. Two nicknames under the Charity Stripe Twitter that I threw out over the past 72 hours. Randy Oppose Arena, based off his cross arm pose, and Ellie the Jet De La Cruz, because he stole home.
That one got a lot of love.
That one both got Oppose Arena got decent love, but the Ellie the Jet De La Cruz, I wanted to get your guys's maybe rank the nicknames out of 10, and we'll average the score before we move on to some basketball.
I'll give you a 7 for creativity for Poserina, but when you first said that, I was thinking like opposition or like oppo.
Okay.
Poserina, so kind of confused me for a second, but and I think for Ellie, I'll give that a 9.
Okay, cool. I'll toss.
Yeah, I'll match the rating on Ellie. The 9 is very fitting. That shot, the snapshot of him stealing home is iconic. It's everywhere right now.
Oh, the photo of the year.
Yeah, it's a super cool photo. Poserina, I'm like at a 3 or a 4 on that one.
I knew you're gonna be a tough critic. Thank you, Nick.
I also didn't get the bit. I thought it was like you're calling him a poser because you like actually don't think he's that good. You're not buying.
No,
it.
I think he's sick.
So I get that, but now Nick, myself, and you have taken 3 different things from the nickname, and because of that, I can't say that it's a good nickname because no one knows what it means.
Fair. I thought with the pose that he typically does, but maybe we need to see him do the pose more. In the national spotlight. I actually love a Rosarena. He was my MVP. I think it was my MVP dark horse this year. It's not going to happen, but I that was my pick for MVP dark horse.
I wanted him to hit with the boots on.
The boots are sick. You know, like that's thank you for bringing up the boots before we get into NBA because it's cool that like we're getting to see the personalities of the players more this year. And we're getting to get like the best thing that the NBA has done. And, you know, it's helped them and hurt them throughout the past couple of years. It's such a star driven league. Like we know the stars. The stars are vocal. Do I think Bo Bichette did a good job on the mic yesterday? Not really, but that was like the right idea. like giving the guys the microphone, letting a Rosarena wear the cowboy boots, like all of it's like interviewing these guys.
And, what was your gripe with Bo Bichette?
He just didn't really do much on the mic, but he seemed cool. Like he's like
his. I think JD was funny.
Yeah, yeah. Bo's swag is next. He's definitely top 10 swaggiest players in the MLB. His swag.
I thought it was cool that like he clearly. Yeah. He needs doesn't. A
haircut, you said
there's a loss in translation between him and his teammate Vladdy, but they still are boys, and you could still see that. Like they still dapped each other up, even though you know Bo wasn't necessarily like on the same wavelength and understanding everything that was being said, not only by Vladdy but all the other Spanish speaking MLB players that surrounded Vladdy when he was taking his breaks. But it's a cool event and a unique event in the sense that you actually can talk to those guys like in between in the 30 second break. And it's an event that gets the rest of the MLB players who aren't competing involved and excited to watch these guys. And that's the one other thing that I had from Mookie's standpoint is like, he clearly has never done a home run derby before. Right. And that's one thing that isn't necessarily talked about is like how many of these guys actually practice doing that? Because a lot of them take BP and they're trying to take the ball 460 feet, like Sammy Sosa used to do, you know, before he would actually start a full nine innings. So that was one thing I found really, really interesting is like Mookie is like, if there's a ball outside, like he's going to take it oppo and he's going to try and line it, you know, down the line so he can turn that into a two or three bagger. And that's just kind of how his mind works. So like seeing how these guys approach the game, the only way you get that is if you have those commentary, the interviews from JD and obviously like, I wanted JD to just grab the bat and take a few swings because at that point we had seen enough from Mookie.
That's what they were saying. They're like, if this was like WWE style, like could he tag you in? And he's like, I wish.
Yeah. Hilarious. He should have just done it. He actually should have just done it. It would have been funny.
The only guy that definitely practices is Alonso. You know Alonso wants this. He wants it too bad. Like now he wants it
every
too
day,
bad.
Dude. That guy,
he loves this event. I did have on our list though, and I know I've been teasing the NBA heavily in the title and coming up, but quickly, one wish for the second half of the MLB season you guys have as a whole from just like an overarching baseball view, and then maybe one wish for your personal teams other than the obvious, just to turn around, maybe a bit more specific, unfortunately, for your pods, Nick.
I mean, that's really the only thing you could say right now about a team that is like not performing to what they should be. I mean, I guess I could just say put it all together at the same time, because at the early start of the season, our pitching was stellar, right? Our bullpen was amazing. Offense couldn't get it going. Now, starting pitching has been great. Offense has been great, but the bullpen is faltering. They don't have a clean game in the last like 30 games or something. They are just blowing it left and right. So in a broader way of saying turn around, put it all together at the same time. You know, there's not much you need to do on the roster. Maybe DFA Matt Carpenter, because he's useless. They DFA'd Nelson Cruz before him, probably because, you know, he had a smaller contract and Carpenter's owed $6 million each year. But whatever, you know, you're owing almost $1 billion to four guys already. So it doesn't really matter. Like, just let that money go. Give that roster spot to someone who can actually produce. Add a DH, maybe Candelario from Washington. And then go shore up the bullpen. Go get some arms. Go get Lang from Detroit. You know, go get Jordan Hicks from St. Louis. And then, you know, if you're not going to do that, just let bygones be bygones. Get rid of Snell. Get rid of Hader for what they're worth right now, if you're not going to make the playoffs. And then maybe even entertain a trade for Soto. You know, I mean, see what you can get while the value's at an all-time high. Because every game that you spend, you know, with him on your roster, you're losing value because it just gets quicker and quicker to his free agency expiring.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Putting it all together is a big takeaway. And I think, you know, we've seen a lot of the different Padres players excel, but all at different times. So I think that's a good point. Hicks, Lang, and Candelario are really great targets. Jaime Candelario has been great for the National. Yeah. He's been good all his whole career. Toss, one wish you have for your Texas Rangers?
Well, for me, you know, I think coming into the season, it was just about, you know, beating expectations, hitting the over on our regular season wins and becoming a relatively competitive baseball club. And we've already exceeded those expectations. We had a rocky-ish finish pre-All-Star break, and the Astros have closed the gap. So my wish for them is that they beat the Astros and take the division. I think it's really important for this club. I think for them to be taken seriously, and look, they could be a wild card team and be the second best team in the AL West at the end of the season and still have a good record and get to the playoffs. But I think it would be really meaningful for them to get it done and win the AL West. So they need to stand pat there. And I mean, I think they've only got two games up on the Astros right now. And then outside of that, another team, you know, that I'm looking at the beginning of the season, I think my AL pick was the Guardians. They've finally taken the AL Central, you know, now that we're at the All-Star break. Yeah, right at 500. But if they win that division, you know, they're in a pretty good spot. So I'd like to see them bounce back and have a really dominant second half of the season, just to make my pick come true, because, you know, up until the All-Star break, I have not felt very confident about that pick that I made. But they do have a great closer. They obviously have a guy, you know, who's a perennial MVP candidate in the AL, and a guy that you love, Josh. Like, you're a huge Jose Ramirez fan. I know Nick and I like him too, obviously, but you've always kind of been in his corner. But yeah, man, I just, for the Rangers, just beating the Astros, and the Astros have been gaining and gaining, and the chirping gets more and more. And look, like, we don't like them. No one likes them in the MLB. So I feel like it's a cause that everybody can get behind. And I'd love to see the Reds hold on to it in the NL Central as well. Oh, and the Brewers are putting together a good season, but
Team Reds, that's your overarching Team Reds.
Yeah. I mean, these teams that we didn't expect to be there, my overarching is I'd like them to hold on and not just be first half wonders.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you my overarching.
Please.
I want Ohtani just to continue the dominance and just put together the craziest season you've ever seen. Go for 60 home runs and strike out 250 batters. That'd be insane.
Yeah, I'll bend the knee to that one, Nick, and both yours, actually. Probably would both be on my wish list for the Reds to hang on and head to the playoffs. So we see Ellie the Jet, De La Cruz, that Nick sounds like that's the nickname that's sticking, head to the playoffs, and Ohtani. And I guess piggybacking on, I want to see Ohtani moved. I love trades. I love general manager aspect of things, and I'd love to see Ohtani on the move. Sorry, Angels fans, but that's probably my overarching wish. And I would guess my Red Sox wish, go for it. Like, you're five games above 500. You're two games back in the wild card. Like, you have Brian Bello, okay? You have Paxton, who's been awesome. Like, you have two good frontline starters. Nick, you talked about poaching the Cardinals for your team. Go poach the Cardinals for Jordan Montgomery. Get him as a rental and make him your number three starter, and then have Cutter Crawford as your fourth guy. You're getting John Schreiber back, who was a really big piece in the bullpen. He's beginning his rehab assignment. So getting him back with Chris Martin and Winkowski to set up Kenley is – all of a sudden, the pitching's there, and you may have a top five outfield in baseball with Verdugo, Yoshida, and Jaren. Like, that's a really seriously talented outfield with Rob Refsnyder, who's a nice fourth outfielder in the mix.
I can see, you know, as the days go on, I could really see the Cardinals potentially selling on Paul Goldschmidt.
We've been saying it, like, do it. Like,
should. I mean, he's a free agent after 2024. So you've gotten a lot out of his contract. So you basically have a season and a half. You have what Soto is. It's not that high of a contract. I mean, his base salary each year is $22 million. He's got a $4 million signing bonus each season. So $26 million, you know, to your team cap. And that's like less than what Machado is making. That's less than what Soto is making. That's less than Tatis and what Bogarts are making. Like, this guy can help you win a World Series if you're a team that's right there. So I think that's a guy to really look out for. One thing I saw the other day at the All-Star break, two of the teams that were slotted to make the playoffs at the All-Star break, right? If you did the playoff picture as it stood at the break, two of the teams did not make it last year. are there any teams for you that are currently poised to make the All-Star, or sorry, to make the playoffs at the All-Star break that you do not foresee making the playoffs? So as it stands right now, we've got the Rays, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, the Guardians, the Rangers, and the Astros. That's the AL. And the NL, we've got Atlanta, Miami, Cincinnati, LA Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Giants. Any pretenders in there?
I think that...
I'll throw mine out. I think the Giants will miss the playoffs.
It's probably where I'm at too. I think the Phillies catch them. I don't think the Diamondbacks are super safe per se. They probably have to do something. Maybe a little Norwegian buyback with Paul Goldschmidt. I don't know. They have Christian Walker. But that'd be funny. I don't think the Marlins are pretenders. I think they're legit. Like, to me, Sandy can totally put it together again. And I'm not saying he's going to win the Cy Young, but he can get back to form. And all of a sudden, they're pitching with him, Yuri Perez, and Braxton Garrett, and Jesus Luzardo. Like, that could be one of the best, if not the best, rotation, you know, in the National League. And they could be a team that goes and gets Paul Goldschmidt. Like, if he is available and, you know, they're like, okay, we're not scoring enough runs and that's what we need help with, maybe they go get him. But I'm with you. I think the Fish are in. I like the Giants to fall to the Phillies here.
I see that happening. I mean, it's just, yeah, I wouldn't expect two teams from the NL Central, you know, so it's likely not going to be the Brewers, who they're knocking on the door. They're actually ahead of the Phillies right now, if you're just looking at win percentage. I know, obviously, we trust the Phillies a lot more, given that they're the team that made the World Series from the NL side last year. I would be remiss if I just didn't mention that the AL is tricky to predict, but it's not like we would be surprised if the Yankees ended up in the playoffs. You know, the Angels have slid. And now the Mariners are in the three spot in the AL West, but I haven't seen enough from the Mariners to kind of put them in that same category as the Phillies to make that jump. Because I do believe at this point, like, why should we think that the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays are worse than the Mariners? I don't. I think they're all better teams than them, and I think they know who they are, and they have a more concrete identity. So I think the Giants is a good pick. It's too tough to call it in the AL, I would say. There's no one that's, like, sticking out that I'm like, oh, they're going to blow it.
Yeah, Nick, you probably know this better than us because it's your division, but I hate picking against the Giants because somehow, some way, they're pesky. They always put together a team and you're like, how are we here in August, late August, and a team we thought would be fourth in the division is right there with the division lead. They're an amazing organization. Like, there's nothing, maybe it's because the ball,
it's not quite Soviet the same, but I feel a little bit about them how I feel about the Pittsburgh Steelers, where I'm like, just when you think that they're going to suck, they just always are so competitive and know exactly how to play the game and get wins.
I mean,
I think it's a great comp.
You don't win three World Series in like a span of 10 years by accident. I mean, there's something that they do right in the organization that is top tier, and doesn't matter who they have at manager, doesn't matter who they have in their organization. There's a lot of guys on this roster that you're questioning, like, who is this guy? Or even guys that are like, this guy's way too old, right? Like, Brandon Crawford's been doing it forever. Last year, Brandon Belt, like, random guys are on this roster and they find success. I think they're just really good at evaluating talent and maybe unlocking hidden talents too. When they're down, you know, at the bottom of the division, they don't stay down there very long. I was stuck in a maze.